Before we do our Bible study tonight, I want you to do a Bible study with me. If you will, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. Read along with me the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Pay particular attention to what's there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I'm sure you got that committed to memory. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Now, probably some of you know exactly where I'm going with this or have an idea anywhere. Anyway, but read along and notice any differences. Beginning at verse 14, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What's different about the Lord's citation or quotation of the passage in Isaiah and Isaiah's record of it? Two specific things. Leslie? Okay. First thing is in addition to what the Lord Jesus read. Back in Isaiah's prophecy, in Isaiah 61, there is no phrase, the recovering of sight to the blind. I did as much research as I possibly could on this, and I found nobody who gave any opinion as to what the difference is. So I can only give you my thoughts on it. When Jesus read out of the books, the scriptures, he was more than likely reading a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures known as the Septuagint. Whenever you translate from one language to another language, you lose something. And part of it, some of the quotation here, for example, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, it says the good tidings back in Isaiah, but the word gospel literally means good tidings. So there's no big difference there, but it's just a little change in things. But here there's something that's totally foreign to it. And what may have happened over the years is the possibility is that somewhere along the line they were writing down some notes, and those notes got it added into the text that may not have been originally in Isaiah's prophecy. I have a problem with that possibility, though. For down in verse 21, it says, This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I take it then that this part which he read that came to fulfillment had to be part of the original Old Testament. The other possibility is that in translating the Old Testament in our Bibles, somewhere along the line, that little phrase got lost, and it was recovered here in the New Testament. We just don't have it in some of our Old Testament manuscripts. Both positions have some problems with it, and I can't say authoritatively one way or the other, but the good thing about it, this one little addition of recovering sight to the blind does not change the import or the teaching of the passage to any great extent. So there's a little addition. What's the other major difference? He stopped short. He came up to the place, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, but he stopped there. He didn't continue to preach and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give and so forth and so on. And he said, today this has been fulfilled. A lot of Bible commentators make a big emphasis on the fact that there is an omission here, that the purpose of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at this point in time was not to fulfill that portion of Scripture dealing with condemnation or the day of God's vengeance, but to come and to proclaim the good news. I disagree with that one, too. I'm a pretty disagreeable person here tonight. In other places, Jesus talked about the wrath of God and God's judgment and God's vengeance upon sin. But he simply stopped here and he said, today this scripture is fulfilled. Now, give you one more quiz and then I'll get to preaching. What was fulfilled? These Bible commentators oftentimes make a big deal of what was missing. What was fulfilled? Was anyone healed at this point in time? Well, if you read the context of the passage here, you will find out there were no miraculous healings taking place. You don't find anybody who was brokenhearted being healed. You don't find anyone who was blind that received their sight. You don't find any prisoners that were set at liberty. What was fulfilled? Very good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach. And this is the very first day in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that He went out and about the towns to preach the Word of God. It is the beginning of His ministry. Now with that in mind, come back to Isaiah chapter 61. Tonight I'd like to speak on the subject of the privilege, the power, and the purpose of preaching. Let's look at the text before us and look first of all at the privilege of preaching. Oh, we say, well, as I noted this morning, that's for preachers. Well, I think everybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is a preacher, a proclaimer. And how do I know that? Well, let's look at what Jesus said about His privilege of preaching. He said, first of all, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. In Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would come upon a person and empower him for a particular purpose. And sometimes when that purpose was accomplished, the Spirit of God would leave that person. Oftentimes it was associated with a person who was prophesying or proclaiming the Word of God. Now, that's why David said in Psalm 51, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I want to be empowered to do the will of God in my life. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again and ascended into heaven, He said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father to you, which is the Holy Spirit. He shall not only be upon you, but He shall be in you. A permanent indwelling. You are sealed unto the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is not upon you. He is in you, if you know Him as, if you know Christ as Savior. The same Spirit that empowered all Old Testament saints, that came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that empowered Him for His preaching ministry, is active, or at least should be active, in the life of every Christian. For what purpose? May I suggest to you, for the purpose of empowering you to proclaim the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. There is much confusion in the church today about this thing called anointing. You will hear in many places, oh, that was really an anointed message. Or, the church today needs a new or fresh anointing. Do you know, nothing could be more theologically incorrect than those statements. Anointing in Old Testament and biblical times was the commissioning to a service. Whenever a priest was anointed or a king was anointed, he was put into an office and said, okay, here's your commission to a service. The anointing here was a commissioning. When Jesus Christ came to John the Baptist and was baptized, and he went out into the wilderness and came back, he was able to say, the Lord God, or the Spirit of the Lord God has appointed me because he hath anointed me in the past. He's commissioned me for a ministry. He's empowered me for a ministry. And it's my privilege to carry that anointing out. New Testament Apostle John says that we have been anointed in the past. And that would be the very moment of salvation. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have, you were anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You were commissioned to a ministry. Would anyone like to take a wild guess at what that ministry might be? Let me give you a little hint. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to fulfill that commission. Just as Jesus was privileged to go about the nation of Israel and proclaim the good tidings, so you and I have been commissioned to do the same. We say, wait a minute, I'm not a good preacher. Well, you don't have to be a good preacher. You just have to say the right things. Because look what the Word of God does. Look at the power of preaching. Not how emphatic can a preacher be. Or how can he use his hands and make gestures. Or can he walk around and jump up and down and hoot and holler or tell wonderful stories and make people laugh and cry and do all kinds of emotional things. That's not it. The power is found in the Word itself. In fact, I was thinking, Glenn, you were saying about how great a communicator this morning the Apostle Paul is, and you were absolutely right. But you know what? As good of a communicator as he wasn't much of a preacher. In 2 Corinthians, they said he writes a mean letter, but he can't speak much. That's kind of a Reiner paraphrase of the thing. But that's the truth. Apparently, he was not a great public speaker, but he was an excellent communicator. He spoke the Word of God. What can the Word of God do? Look at the power of preaching here. The Lord God hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The meek here in the New Testament was translated the poor. It has the idea of being poor in spirit. Here's a person who might be discouraged. Person who might be depressed. And the Word of God can encourage that person. It can change their emotional state. It can bring hope. It can cause a person to be excited about the life that God has given them. He's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the poor, the meek in spirit. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Those who have lost loved ones. Those who have gone through bitter experiences in life. Those that are wondering what life is all about. The Word of God can bring healing to those things. Where there's been divisions, it can bring reuniting of people together. Just by rightly proclaiming the Word. A word fitly spoken. Spoken at the right time. Is like... Notice it didn't say green beans like apples of gold and sockets of silver. It's sweet and it's rich and it's precious. To proclaim liberty to the captives, it can overcome enemies. Here, the captives are people who have been taken out of their homeland, captive by a foreign enemy. They're kept against their will from accomplishing and living out their lives the way they want. And let's face it, we have an enemy that roars in this world, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Sometimes our thoughts are taken away. Our mind runs away from us, and we need to bring those thoughts into captivity. But they've been taken away from us, held captive. And the Word of God can bring those things back. It can open the prison to them that are bound. We talk about people with addictions that are held in dungeons, in bondage. And the Word of God can break bondages. It can overcome the meanest of addictive behaviors. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It can refresh the weary. Don't know how many times in my life when I said, I need a vacation. Getting tired, getting worn out. And you open up the Word of God and there's something there that you just needed to have. And all of a sudden you get refreshed. And you say, I don't need a vacation. Give me someone to share this with. And you become re-energized, refocused. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It promotes growth and makes things beautiful. Man shall not live by bread alone. And by the way, we need bread to grow. Yeah, you rob yourself of food and you will waste away to nothing. I'm making sure that that doesn't happen in my life. I like the little magnet we have on our refrigerator. It says, my idea of a well-balanced diet is a cookie in each hand. That's good stuff. But if you don't eat, you don't grow. And Psalm 1 talks about the person who meditates in the Word of God, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters. And what happens? That tree grows. It's nourished. And simply, if someone shares the Word of God, they don't have to be necessarily the greatest preacher per se, but just faithful to proclaim the right words. Called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It talks about beauty here and the ashes of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. How it can make a person who was had a lifestyle that was just contrary to righteousness and literally change them. Look at the Apostle Paul going down the road towards Damascus in order to persecute the church and stop dead in his tracks by what? The Word of God. And change from a persecutor and a blasphemer to probably the one who had the greatest impact on the first century A.D. The power of proclaiming God's Word. You don't have to be a great orator. You just need to be faithful. And the Word will take care of itself. Finally, what's the purpose of preaching? To win souls, right? Nope. Wrong. Look at the end of verse 3. That He, that is the Lord, might be glorified. We think sometimes in order to glorify God, we must accomplish something fantastic. We must stay up nights and pray and read our Bibles and study, and therefore we'll have some fantastic insight, and we must prepare and be ingenious in how we're going to communicate in order to do something phenomenal. May I say to you that there are some messages that I have preached from this pulpit that I thought going in, man, this thing's fantastic. And they were turkeys. They never got off the ground. Or if they did, they didn't get very high. And there were some times I came to this pulpit and I said, what in the world am I doing here? Lord, I can honestly say in the 18 years that I have been preaching, I have never come to the pulpit not believing that I had the words that God wanted me to speak. I can honestly say that. But there have been times I've come to the pulpit and I said, Lord, why in the world do you want me to preach that? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And people have come up to me afterward, Pastor, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Okay. The purpose of preaching is that God may be glorified. Sometimes we don't understand how that's going to happen. Sometimes it happens contrary to our conception. Sometimes it happens in accordance with it. But no matter what happens, whether our soul's saved or whether people are excited about things or whether it just goes over their heads, the purpose is that God might be glorified. You and I have the same anointing that the Lord Jesus Christ had, in that He came to proclaim God's Word to us. The Lord Jesus, in citing this passage in Isaiah 61, said today that these words are fulfilled. Because this verse was speaking about Him. But it has application to us. At the end of our lives, will we be able to say, today my commission has been fulfilled? Let's pray. Father, oftentimes we think about preaching and we shy away from it because we think of being an orator rather than being a proclaimer. One who simply can read the Word of God, whether with emotion or inflection or dramatization or whatever, doesn't really matter. All we need to do is read the Word of God faithfully and share it with somebody. Father, help us to be faithful to allow the Spirit of God to use us in ways that He sees fit to rightly communicate the Word of God to people who are discouraged and need hope, to people that are held captive and need freedom, to people who are enslaved and need deliverance, people who need to grow and need nourishment. And Lord, to people who are lost and need to be found. Father, may our use of Your Word in studying it and proclaiming it cause growth in ourselves and profit in the ministry. Lord, may there be a person that comes into our life this week that we might be found faithful to share that Word with and make an impact and bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. I pray in that most wonderful name. Amen. Have a good week.